Mighty good singing.
Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Boy, it's been good today, hadn't it? Me and Brother Chris talk about it all the time through the week, man. Just cannot believe how good it is. And I guarantee you it'll come out in conversation this week. Man, I just can't believe how good it was on Sunday. I would call Chris every Monday and say, man, you ain't going to believe it. You ain't going to believe it. And now I'm glad he's getting to see it. Amen. But it has been mighty, mighty, mighty good. Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to preach tonight to some of our newer people, some of our newer converts. Sometimes we take for granted what we know, and we expect everybody else to know what we know. And a lot of times they don't know what we know. If somebody's just gotten church or somebody's just gotten saved and they've never even read through their Bible, there's a lot of things they don't know. So this is going to seem a little elementary to you, to some of you, but I guarantee you that some of you have been saved a long time and you need this. Amen. I know a lot of Christians who have not grown one iota since the day they got saved. They're no further down the road spiritually than they were the day they got saved. So I want to give you one of my life's verses. When I first got saved, the Lord gave me this verse. When I got saved, it was, if somebody said Eddie White got saved, people would say, no way, because I had a past. And sometimes that past is hard to get away from. It'll follow you around, amen? And especially when you're preaching where you grew up and preaching to people you grew up with. There's people that know things about me here that I wish they didn't know. But the only reason they know is because they were there too, amen? Philippians chapter number 3. I want to give you this verse tonight, and I want you to try to commit this verse to memory. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Do you know what you can do about your past? Absolutely nothing. I've heard it said a million times, man, if I could just go back, you can't.
That's right.
You cannot go back. You can't go back as far as 10 minutes ago. All we've got is forward. So if we can do nothing about our past, some of you need to forgive yourself. God has forgiven you for your sin. Amen. We're living in a day when certain people, they get saved and get in church, and because of their past or because of their marital situation, they got the idea somehow from some jackleg preacher somewhere that they could never be used of God again. When you get saved, God don't forgive some sin. He forgives all sin. Amen. Sometimes you got to get past your past. And that's what Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. He had a very wicked past. He was a murderer of God's people. He hated Christianity. He thought it was his job to stamp out Christianity. He had to get past that if he was going to go forward and write 13 books of the New Testament. So there's some things in your past, hey, we'll look back on and thank God we're not there anymore.
Yes.
There's some things you need to get over. Listen, if you're saved, you are a child of God.
Yes.
You're not some second-class citizen. There's not levels of Christianity. It's not like he's a A Christian and he's a B Christian and he's a C Christian. No, you're a Christian if you're saved.
Amen.
You're as saved as I am. You have the same accessibility that I have. And I'm the pastor and have been for almost 22 years. Hey, you have the same connection with God that I do. And you're not in a church tonight that's going to say because of your past, we can't allow you to do this or that. Now, let me say on another level, if you are a convicted sex offender, you're not working in the bus ministry. Don't get me wrong there. If you have that kind of history, you're not going to be with children. Okay? But I mean, you know what I'm trying to say to you tonight. We don't look at you as second-rate citizens because of what you used to be. One of my favorite church members, I shouldn't say favorite, but one of our best church members, Brother Jason Crow, was a big time drug dealer. And now God's using him in a big time way. Amen. I thank God for that. But listen, I want to talk to you about some things that Paul said, this one thing I do. I want to talk to you about some things you need to do as a Christian, especially as a new Christian. Every Christian ought to do these things. I'm going to give you about four or five things you ought to do every day. Physically, there's some things I do every day. I brush my teeth every day. I shave my face every day except when I'm feeling a little rebellious. I was growing me a mustache here a few weeks ago, and my daughter-in-law made me shave it. That's bad when you got more than one woman telling you what to do. Amen. I've got two daughters and a daughter-in-law and a wife. Amen. So anyway, there's things I do. I brush my teeth. I take a shower every day. How many of y'all take a bath every day? Please raise your hand. I take a bath every day, whether I need one or not. Yeah. This is how I check. If that smells a little raunchy down there, I might need a shower, amen? Summertime, when it's hot and sticky, I may take two showers a day. Amen. I cannot stand to go to bed dirty, amen? There's things we do physically every day and for our physical bodies, but now we are a spiritual man also. Yeah. So there's things we need to do for that spiritual man every single day. For some people, Christianity is a Sunday thing. Yeah. Amen. And for some, especially around here, it's a Sunday-only thing. I don't know. Look around you tonight. There's maybe three-quarters of the people here tonight that was here this morning. There's a lot of people. Sunday morning's the only time they're going to go to church. It may never change. Some preachers will beat them to death over it. I'm not going to. I'm glad they're coming on Sunday morning. Maybe one day something will click and they'll think, hey, I need to go back tonight. Amen. I'm going to love them and I'm going to preach to them. Amen. But there's things we need to do. If you're going to make it as a Christian, there's things you need to do every day. There's things you need to do every day in your relationship with your wife or your husband. I was going to say spouse and it was coming out mouse. But there's things you need to do every day with your spouse. Your wife needs to hear, I love you every day. Every single day, I love you, honey. Even when she's mad and ranting and raving, begging you to come out from under the bed so she can whoop you. Amen. Every day she needs to hear, I love you. Amen. Every day she needs to be touched. Are y'all all right? Amen. I'll get Tom Williams on you if you ain't careful. Amen. I'll get graphic and tell you. Man, there's things you need to do for your marriage every single day. I'm not going to bed without kissing my wife. Amen. God, it's a relationship. And it takes work. Now that you're saved, you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You know, when my wife and I first got married, there was things that were awkward. Shake your head. Man, I never slept in the same bed with nobody. I take up the whole thing, son, and sleep all over it. I had to learn to sleep with somebody. It was awkward. We had to build our relationship. And if you're going to have a relationship with God, hey, getting saved is just the getting in part. You're just in the foyer. You're not, you know what I mean? You're just to where they keep the buggies at Walmart. You ain't got in there where the good stuff's at yet. Amen. I go to Walmart. I don't spend much time where the buggies are. I go to the hunting department. Amen. Directly. And see the same thing I saw the last time I was in there. Our relationship with the Lord needs work. And there's things, if you're going to grow as a Christian, listen, we are living in a day of very shallow Christianity. Would you agree? I mean, you listen to that Joel Osteen stuff, and listen, man, maybe the guy's doing some good stuff. Maybe not. But that's about as shallow as stuff. I mean, it really is. It's just shallow. He's not teaching anybody the Bible. He's learning ways to get more money out of their pocket. He's not teaching anybody anything about the book and how to grow as a Christian. It's very, very shallow. These super churches, this Rick Warren purpose-driven junk, and that's the same thing. It's just a bunch of shallow, little pep talk and go home and have a concert and then go home, and it's just nothing to it. But if you're going to grow and make it as a Christian, hey, it's good for you to grow spiritually for your marriage. It's good for you to grow spiritually to be a parent. We had one of our men in the prayer room requesting prayer, and I really respected him for doing that, requesting prayer in the raising of one of their children, into making decisions, and I appreciated that. I thought, yeah, we need more people saying, pray for me that I'd be a good dad and make the right decisions. Amen. We're going to have to, there's things we need to do every day. I want to give you a few of them. And this is just really, really, really simple. But I promise you, if you'll put these things into practice in your life, you will grow. You do what God says do, and God will do what He says He'll do. Amen. If we'll do what God asked us to do, then you will sit back and watch God work. Listen, every day, number one, every day I must offer myself afresh to God. Every day. I don't get saved every day, but every day I need to offer myself to God. In Numbers chapter number 29, the priests were required to come every day and offer a burnt offering. Every day. Why? Because yesterday's is gone. Yesterday's is gone. Every day. Listen, Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable before the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Every day we must offer ourselves to God. Okay, God, here I am. I was yours yesterday on Sunday, but now it's Monday. God, I want to be yours again today. Every day we ought to offer ourselves before God. I guarantee you, there's days I haven't done that. And I guarantee you there's days you haven't done that. I had a good habit when I worked a public job. I had my time and my day scheduled out. And people used to make fun of me because I'd make all these lists. And I had a time to do everything. I had a time to spend with God. Every day it was my habit. On my way to work, I offered myself up to God. God, help me to be submitted to you today. Lord, you use me today. Let the Board of Education get what they're paying for, but God, you speak through me to somebody. You help me. I'm yours today, God. Every day we ought to offer ourselves before God. Amen. Won't hurt you one little bit. Or try. You say, preacher, I don't really understand. Just in the morning, say, God, please have your will in my life today. Lord, help me to be submissive unto you. Help me to be obedient unto you today. God, help me to do and say what you would have me do today. Amen. And if you'll offer yourself in the morning, you'll be obedient throughout the day. Amen. When God puts it on your heart to witness to that coworker, you'll do it. Because you've submitted yourself. You got to yield that body every day. Because that body, if it gets its way, it's going to be a bad day. Amen. Somebody told me, said they didn't believe a Christian can do this or that. Listen, man, just because you're saved, don't mean you're not capable of big time sin. You're capable of anything. You're capable of murder. Are you listening? Hey, I've never killed anybody. I've thought about it. Have you ever thought about killing somebody? I mean really thought about just taking a gun and blowing their stinking brains out. Amen. I thought about that a bunch. You know what? It's only by the grace of God we hadn't acted on it. Amen. It's only about, they've been church members I wanted to shoot. I'm serious, heart attack, by the way they treated their family. Broke their children's heart. I'd like just, bam, okay. Next. Amen. Every day we've got to submit ourselves. We've got to yield our members to Him. Every day say, God, today these are your hands. These are your eyes. This is your mouth. These are your feet. Where are we going? Every single day. Offer yourself afresh to the Lord. Let me give you a second one right quick. I told you I'm going to be quick tonight. Every day I will call upon the Lord in prayer. Write these down. Every day I'm going to offer myself to God afresh. Every day I'm going to call upon the Lord. Every single day I'm going to set a time I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I guarantee you that everybody in this room don't pray every day. I guarantee it. The two most important things in our life is this book and prayer, and they're the most neglected. That's right. Or they get the least of our time or the least of our attention. Yeah. I'm a night person. If I tried to read my Bible in the morning, I couldn't see it. Amen. But we ought to pick a time when we pray, when we spend time with God. There ought to be a time. Daily, I want to offer myself to God, but daily we need to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. The psalmist said in Psalms 86 and verse number 3, he said, I cry unto thee daily. I cry unto thee daily. Hey, we wonder sometimes, these guys in the Bible, man, I'm telling you stuff, some of the stuff like Elijah and Elisha, and man, that stuff blows me away. Calling fire down out of heaven and killing all them prophets of Baal. That's some pretty cool stuff. But I got to think about these guys. These guys had a walk with the Lord. I thought about Enoch. The Bible said he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Hey, we've got to have a daily walk with God if we're going to live for God. It's got to be every day. It can't just be Sunday. It's got to be every single day. We got to have a walk with the Lord. Every day I'm going to present my body. Every day I'm going to pray. Hey, have you got a prayer list? Have you got some things that you pray for personally? Amen. I believe it was Brother Williams sat by me up here on the platform this morning, or Levi, one of the two. I said, man, I got a burden for somebody lost here today. I got a burden for somebody lost here today. And little did I know, it was Roger Bush's son, who I've been burdened for months, man, wondering if he was really saved or not. And here he'll come old Nathan, man, and got born again this morning. Hallelujah. Then the young lady that I just talked to, her fiance yesterday, showed up this morning and got born again. Man, do you know how encouraging that is when you see God do something you asked for personally? I think that's cool as grits, man. Man, I started reading that email Wednesday night from Sister Christy Butler about Chris, and the doctor said, by his blood work, you can't even tell he's got cancer. Man, I wanted to run up and down the street and holler, God's not dead. God, that's my prayer. And I know it was many of yours too. The only time we pray shouldn't be at altar prayer on Wednesday night. Amen. We ought to pray. You ought to pray for your children every day. I got a baby at home tonight who's having difficulty in her pregnancy and could very easily lose this baby. And I've been beseeching God every day, God, touch her. Touch her every day, I've been praying. Amen. Why, preacher? It works. It works. Man, you don't hear Chris Butler stories everywhere you go. You don't hear Ashley Hawford stories everywhere you go, where the cancer is just dried up. You don't hear the Sophia Ryder stories everywhere you go. Man, it's because we pray. Amen. And the more we see God do, the more it ought to make us want to pray. You would blow your mind how many times I've had been asked this question. Preacher, or told this statement. Preacher, I don't know how to pray. I called on Roger Bush to dismiss in prayer this morning. Did you turn around and look at his face? Scared him to death. He said, I'm going to kill you. Sean Hitt told me if I ever asked him again, he's going to walk out the door. Listen, man, I'm going to teach you how to pray. Y'all want me to teach you how to pray right quick? Hey, Brother William. It's good to see you, brother. I need some carpenter work done at my house. Would you mind coming by? What are you doing? I'm telling a friend what I need.
Yeah. That's it, brother.
Does that make sense? I'm coming to somebody who's capable of doing what I need done. Now that would be absolutely crazy to go over here and ask Brother Robbie to build something at my house. Now if I needed carpet, I could come see Robbie. I'm coming to somebody who's capable. Somebody who loves me and somebody who cares for me, and I'm having a conversation with him. First, I'm going to start the conversation by telling him I appreciate him. I'm buttering him up. I'm going to tell him he's the best carpenter I ever saw. Unless I'm trying to get Brother Freddie to build something, then he's going to be the best carpenter I ever saw. Amen. I ain't stupid. I'm going to tell him how good he is. I'm going to tell him how much I appreciate what he does. And then I'm going to tell him what I need. It's the same thing with God. You ain't got to have all this eloquent like people that, some of these people that pray in public, our Father, all that stuff, their voice changes when they pray. No, man, just talk to God. Just talk to God. Some of these, I hear people pray in public, make me sick. I'm serious. It's like a performance. I mean, their whole, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever heard that? I mean, their whole deal just, man, and it makes people feel like, oh, I've got to talk like that. No. Hey, I pray sometimes and don't even say words. I pray to God, he knows what's going through my mind. He knows it before it ever comes out of my mouth. I think you ought to pray audibly too. Amen. Here's prayer. Prayer is talking to God. You say, man, I have a hard time praying. You don't have a hard time talking to people. You don't have a hard time putting posts on Facebook. Amen. We shouldn't have a hard time talking to God. The only reason we have a hard time is because it's so vitally important for our spiritual life, and the devil fights that more than he fights anything.
Amen.
Amen. I guarantee you have a harder time with your prayer life than you do being faithful to church. Guarantee you do. Here's what happens when you, and I'm going to get stuck right here a few minutes, but it's all right. The Bible says pray without ceasing. In everything. Hey, man, we're to pray about everything. When you start praying, now I'm probably not the only wicked person in this room. How many of you could raise your hand and say, I have a problem that when I'm praying, I think something bad? I'm not the only one. When I'm praying, bad thoughts come in my mind. You're not alone. I have weird thoughts when I'm praying. Abstract, stuff that don't even make no sense. It's just weird stuff. When I'm trying to pray. And I'm thinking, why did I think that? I don't even know why I thought it. That's the devil. Now here's what you do in your prayer life when that starts taking place. Lord, bind the devil. Lord, I want to spend some time with you and he's interrupting our conversation. Lord, I'm sorry. I did not mean to think those thoughts. Lord, I'm trying to give you 100% of my attention, but please make him leave me alone. I'm telling you, try that. And you may have to do it every single time you pray. Especially if you make up your mind tonight, I'm going to do what the preacher said. I'm going to have a time every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray every day. Mark her down. He's going to mess with your brain. Every single time. Just keep praying. You know what? Sooner or later, and he still does it. He still does it, but not as bad as he used to. Sooner or later, he's going to realize that sucker's going to pray no matter what. Amen. He's going to pray no matter what. And he might just leave you alone. Every time that guy prays, he's going to sick Jesus on me again. Amen. Ask God to bind him. Ask God to make him leave you alone. Amen. Quote Scripture. Get you some verses of Scripture and quote, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Quote it, man. Hey, the devil knows Scripture better than you do. Amen. Every day, I'll offer myself afresh to the Lord. Every day, I'm going to call upon the Lord in prayer. Number three, every day, I will search and feed on the Word of God. Every day. Every day. We ought to read this Bible every day of our life. Acts chapter number 7, they search the Scriptures daily. They search the Scriptures daily. In the book of Nehemiah, they stood in the congregation and read them for hours. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't just read the Bible, I study the Bible. Well, that's fine, but it's a book. Books are meant to be read. Don't read it just to say I read it. Amen. That's why I don't push that very hard. You've got to read your Bible through every year. You're not a good Christian. No, I just want to encourage you to read your Bible. If you read it through every year, that's good. Levi read his through like 4 times 1 year, didn't you? Didn't you do that? Yeah, he read his Bible through. That's what he does at work. Seriously, he read his Bible through 4 times 1 year. I've never done that. I'm a slow reader. But it's better than a no reader.
Amen.
Amen. Did you know if you'd read 1 chapter of Proverbs every day, you'll read the book of Proverbs every month? The whole book. If you'll read 1 chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs is good for you, man. Proverbs will get where you live, man. Amen. Proverbs, it'll clean you up. If you'll read some Psalms every day, it'll make you sweet. Amen. Just read your Bible every day. Read a little Old Testament. Read a little New Testament. I don't care how you do it. Just read. Even read them parts that you don't like. Commit to it. Hey, listen, if we get a church where people are in their Bible every day, the devil's going to have a hard time tearing this up. He's going to have a hard time splitting this thing down the middle. When you got people that are like-minded and reading the same book and praying to the same God every day, ooh, it's hard to have division. Amen. I just want to encourage you to do that. You say, well, I have to work. Read your Bible at lunch. Are you scared? You scared what they're going to say? They're going to call you deacon? A streaking deacon, Jason said. Lord have mercy. They will. They'll call you reverend and everything else. Amen. Stick that Bible in your lunchbox. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I used to sit on a, I worked in commercial buildings as when I was doing construction as a plumber, and I'd always sit on a stack of sheetrock somewhere, and that's where we'd eat lunch. I'd open my lunchbox over here, had one of them little coolers, you know. I'd get my sandwiches out and I'd lay them out. I'd grab that little old New Testament, I'd lay it over here, and I'd sit there and eat that sandwich and read that New Testament. What are you, a preacher? No. Just a Christian. That's what this world thinks. If you read your Bible, you must be a preacher. You know where that comes from. The Catholic Church, the only person that's got a Bible in that place is the preacher, or the priest. Amen? Hey, you all got a Bible. This is not my word. It's our word. Amen. Commit to that. Every day, I present myself afresh to the Lord. Every day, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Every day, I'm going to feed on the Word of God. Number four, I'm almost done. Every day, I will seek to die to sin and self. Every day I want it to be more of God and less of me. John said, I must decrease and he must increase. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I die daily. I die daily. Every day we ought to die to this. You know what you have to do to this flesh? You have to crucify it. Amen. I rarely do I eat breakfast. I'm not a big breakfast guy. I like breakfast at night. Gravy and biscuits and eggs and all that, that's good right before you go to bed. Amen. Amen. I love breakfast food. When I get up in the mornings, I'm just not hungry. But I promise you, if I decide to fast, when I open my eyes in the morning, everything smells like bacon. Can I get a witness right there? Your flesh will scream and pitch a fit like a two-year-old child. And one of the hardest things in the world to do is tell it no. Because you've spent your whole life spoiling it and giving it everything it wants. But every day, man, you got to stab that booger every time you turn around. Amen. Man, I'm 50 years old. I've been saved like 31 years. And man, still things just, I catch myself wanting to cuss somebody out. You say, I cannot believe my preacher just said that. I'm human too. Amen. There's times I want to ram my truck. Just bam.
Amen.
Y'all talk to me. Amen. Run over somebody. I mean, it just goes. Ooh. All I got to do to get mad is go to Hiram. I was talking to Brother John on the phone the other day. He said, where are you at? I said, I'm at Sam's in Hiram. He said, I don't even know where Hiram's at. Consider yourself blessed. Hey, I get in the flesh just like you do. I have to put it down over and over. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to start telling it no over and over and over. We got a puppy at the house, Australian Shepherd, wound up tighter than a banjo string. And I just have to tell him no over and over and over and over and over again. He likes riding my truck. The back seat's his. The floorboard. I fold the seats up. The floorboard's his. He wants to come over the console. And I give him one of these. Whop! No. I mean, I do. I bust him back of my hand right in his face. Bam! No. And he'll sit down. But about 10 minutes, he forgets that whop. I can just see his little dog mind. I'm going up there. And here he comes. Whop! I bop him again. And then he's good. About two whops is all it takes. But I have to tell him no. or he'll be in my front seat. We went out to eat Saturday night. We've been up here decorating for Katie's shower, and we went up to Arby's to get something to eat, and he was with me. And I never left him in the truck by himself, but this was the first time. I thought, we're just going in there to eat. It'll be all right. I told him in plain English. When I got out of the truck, I said, you stay back there. And he looked at me like, okay. We ordered our food and was waiting. I thought, I told Angie, I said, I'm going to go check on that dog. I walked up there and looked in the back window. No dog. I looked in the front, and there he sat in the passenger seat. And he looked at me, if dogs could talk. He said, uh-oh. What I'm saying is that flesh is going to try to do what pleases that flesh. And every day we've got to work on the dying to that flesh. And listen, that's something you're never going to arrive. I don't want to discourage, but you're never going to get there to where you've got it completely under control. You never will. You listen to some of these guys preach, and they're preaching a salvation you can't live. Amen. They literally are. They're preaching a salvation you can't live, and I promise you, they don't either. There'll be no sinless perfection till we see Jesus. Why? Because we're still in this flesh. But that's no excuse to sin. We can still work on ourselves every day. Amen. You ought to pray and beg God that every bit of bitterness is gone out of your life. Every bit of anger and malice. I've seen bitterness kill more Christians than drugs. Destroy more lives than any substance abuse you can name. Bitterness. Amen. Well, man, we ought to pray. Hey, but you got to kill that flesh to do that. You got to be willing to not be mad anymore. Hey, you know what? It becomes a part of your life. I don't even know why. This ain't in my notes. I don't know who's fault. It becomes a part of your life. Hatred becomes a part of you. It's who you are. It's who you've become. That's a hard thing to kill, but you need to die to it every single day. And God ever takes that thing out of your heart, you'll feel as free as the day you did you got saved. Amen. Amen. So that's a load. When I right here in this floor, when I forgave my daddy for real for the first time in my life, buddy, it was crazy. Boom, it come off of me. And I hadn't seen my daddy in several years. I was preaching, Brother Blake, the next night for your daddy at Freedom. I turned around in the service, and guess who was standing there? My daddy. And man, you talk about a relationship after that? But buddy, I had to die to self for that thing to happen. There's people in this room, you think that's impossible. It ain't. It is not impossible. Amen. Is this okay? Is this too simple for y'all? I guarantee there's people here that need this. Every day we ought to offer ourselves fresh to God. Every day we ought to call upon the Lord in prayer. Every day we ought to search and feed on the Word of God. Every day we ought to try our best to die to sin and to self. Lastly, and I'm done. Every day we ought to try to talk to somebody about the Lord. Every day we ought to try to talk to. If it's nothing more than bragging on how good God was here today. Amen. Y'all all right? Curtis Hudson. Now, I love Brother Hudson. I got to hear him preach several times. Got to meet him and talk with him. And he was a little bit that easy believism way. But he had a deal that he made with himself. That he would not go to bed. Every day he would not go to bed till he led somebody to the Lord. I heard them stories over and over and over. He'd get into bed and realize, I ain't led nobody to the Lord today. He'd get up, man, get up out of his bed and go driving gas stations looking for somebody. Get a gas can. There you go. Go down the expressway. Look for somebody to be out of gas. Now, brother, I'll tell you what. That's good stuff. To have that kind of burden in your heart that you're not going to not witness to somebody, win somebody. My goodness, man. Man, we ought to commit. You say, I don't know how to witness. It's like that prayer. It's real simple. You know what a witness does? If you're called or subpoenaed and you have to go witness in a case, maybe you saw a witness to wreck, all you got to do is get up on that stand and say what you saw. That's what a witness does. Amen. All you got to do to witness for the Lord is say what you saw. You could go to work tomorrow, go to school tomorrow and say, hey, man, you ain't going to believe how good God was at our church yesterday. Our preacher been praying for this young boy, and he came and got saved. Our preacher talked to a young man about marrying him on Saturday, and they came on Sunday, and the boy's fiance, the lady, she got saved. Man, I'm telling you, God's good. We had five people saved in the jail yesterday. We had a brand new bus route. This is only second Sunday it ran. It's already had one saved on it, and it was our top bus yesterday. They'll look at you like a calf staring at a new gate. We ought to brag on the Lord, man. We ought to brag on the Lord. Here's something good. Share with your friends, people you work with, people you care about. Tell them how good God's been to you. Amen. I'm not talking about preach to everybody. Please don't go to work and condemn everybody. They're condemned already. Don't go to school and condemn everybody. You're wicked, you're wicked. They know they're wicked. Tell them what God's did for you. Go and tell them, say, man, there's a guy 36-year-old in our church. He's got cancer in his stomach and his esophagus, and it didn't look good at all. And the doctor told him, man, according to your blood work, it don't even look like you got cancer now. God did that. God did that, and we can tell that to somebody else. Amen. I've got to go to the bank tomorrow. We moved, when the church moved its account, when we got the new mortgage, my wife and I moved our accounts to the same bank that the church uses. And I've got to go in there tomorrow, and I'll carry a check in there for $1,900 to pay on these buses. I like doing stuff like that. That's a whole lot better than having to go in and ask them to extend it or something. Amen? Thank God. Hey, first thing I'm going to do, I've got acquainted with this lady named Melanie. I've invited her to church. She says she's coming. She never has come. But I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to say, "You boy, you missed it. You missed it yesterday." Amen. First opportunity I get, I'm going to tell somebody how good God was today. Amen. There's just some things that we ought to try and do every day of our life. Now listen, don't feel like a failure if you miss some of them some days. Because you will. You're human. You're not going to do everything right all the time. But don't give up.
Amen.
You can't do anything about yesterday. Try again tomorrow. Try again tomorrow. She said, "Oh, man, I didn't read my Bible yesterday." Well, there's today. Amen. Try it again tomorrow. A lot of this stuff is new to a lot of people in our church. These people coming to our church, folk, they ain't never heard this kind of stuff before. They ain't never heard preaching like this in their life. They ain't never set in services like we're having in their life. This is all new.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, y'all set up here sometimes and look at the faces out there. People are going, they don't know what's going on, man. It's new to them.
Amen.
Give them time. Give them time. But I hope you wrote those things down. And I hope you can start applying some of that to your life a little bit. Listen, you ain't going to be all that at once. I still ain't all that. Neither is nobody else I know. Brother Charles is probably about the closest I know to it. Amen. I look at myself, I got a ways to go. But I'm going. Amen. You ain't going to get it all at once. Little by little. That's something else I thought about preaching on, is little by little. Little by little. Some things that you're going to gain little by little. And you'll learn it little by little. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother John, if you would come and let's get us a song tonight. I'm just going to let Brother John play. If you want to come and tell God to help you in some of these areas, hey, man, some of this stuff I preached to you tonight, I got to work on. Some of these things I told you that you need to do every day, I need to work harder at doing them every day. Amen. But I promise you, if you'll put these things in place in your life, you'll start to grow, and it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind to see how God starts working in your heart and in your life. Amen. Let's mind the Lord. Go ahead, Brother John. Just play. God dealing with your heart. Come on.